So here we are in chapter 11, verses 28 through 34 today. As we look in this verse, we remember last week we focused on the resurrection. Jesus made the statement, I am the resurrection. Speaking to Martha today, we're going to see an encounter he has with Mary here in this same narrative, in this same discourse. But as you're turning there, I want to share this, and this may help someone, it may not help someone. My prayer is that it helps us, because it helped me. Mark Axelrod shared this story. He said, I was reading about a grieving woman. She went to her pastor looking for help. She said, Pastor, my daughter died last year. And I miss her so much. I made breakfast for her every morning. And even when I had to go to work, I knew that she would be there when I got home every evening. But now I come home to an empty house. I'm lonely. And I cry all the time. What can I do? Her pastor responded, you got to talk to Jesus. The same way you used to talk to your daughter. When you get home, say out loud, Lord Jesus, it's good to be home. When you're getting supper ready, talk to him about your day. And if anybody had been kind to you, tell him. If anybody has been unkind to you, tell him. Just as you would have told your daughter. At night, stretch out your hand in the darkness and say, Jesus, I love you. You're my best friend, and I'll talk to you in the morning. You know, too often, we think Jesus has been up in heaven without a care of what's going on in our lives. We think he's numbed our feelings to our grief, our sorrow, our confusion and stress, our guilt and weariness, our pain and suffering, joy and excitement, peace and comfort. We often think that he doesn't care about that with us, that all he cares about is us serving him. But that's not the Jesus who died on the cross. Jesus loves us. He cares deeply for us. And we should see this or get a glimpse of this in today's text. Read with me in John 11, verses 28 through 34. The Bible says, and I'm reading out of the New American Standard Bible again today. When she had said this, speaking of Martha, she left and called Mary, her sister, saying secretly, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard this, she got up quickly and came to him. Now, Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still at the place where Martha met him. And when the Jews who were with her in the house were consoling her, and were consoling her, when they saw that Mary had gotten up quickly and left, they followed her, thinking that she was going to the tomb to weep there. So when Mary came to the place where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. God, we thank you for this word, your holy word. Not our word, but your word. God, we thank you that it gives us comfort and peace. It gives us strength and courage. It gives us whatever we need, God, when we look into your truth. So, God, we pray that you would move upon this congregation and you would speak to each heart. You know what each one needs, God. So as you preach to us, God, help us. Help us, God, to receive your word and to apply it to our lives. And God, if there's one with us today who doesn't know you through your son, Jesus Christ, allow this to be the day that they call out to you and cry, "What must I do to be saved?" And God, we'll praise you for everything that's accomplished. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we said earlier, last week our focus was on Jesus' encounter with Martha. And in their encounter, we were able to notice the difference in a simple believer's faith and a true disciple's faith. And we want to continue to look into this and keep this in the forefront of our minds as we go through this text today. Because in today's text, Martha, after her profession of faith, that we see in verse 27, we see this where she says, "Yes, Lord, I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, and he who comes into the world." And from there, she runs to her home to tell Mary that the teacher has come and is calling for her. Now, some translations, such as the King James, will use the word master. And in the context and in the Greek, with the Greek word here, the word master actually means teacher. So Martha said, "The teacher." This is important for us to truly understand. She uses the definite article, "the," in front of teacher. She could have said, "Teacher is here." She could have said, "A teacher is here." She could have said, "That teacher we know is here." But instead, she uses that definite article saying, "The teacher is here, and he's calling for you." It's not saying Jesus is a teacher, but what she is saying is that he is the teacher. Jesus is not like any other teacher. No, he is the supreme teacher. He is the very best of teachers. No Bible teacher has ever come close to comparing to Jesus. He stands in a league all by himself because he is the teacher. In calling Jesus the teacher, there's the idea of his deity here as well. What I mean is there's the idea of his lordship. In John 13:13, Jesus said, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are correct, for so I am. And there's no wonder being called the teacher is tied to being called the Lord. The reason for that is because it just makes sense that the Lord is the greatest teacher among men. It just makes sense. If I'm going to call him Lord, there can be no one like him. There can be no one who can do for me what he can do. There can be no one to comfort me like he comforts me. There is no one to instruct me the way he instructs me. If I call him Lord, if someone else can do anything that Jesus done, as well as Jesus done it, outside of God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, then he's not worth calling Lord. But he is worth calling Lord, because there's no one else other than God the Father and God the Holy Spirit that can lead us, guide us, direct us, and teach us as Jesus. Wow, God has blessed us with men who've given their lives to the study of scriptures to help us. Reading behind these men is meant to be a resource for us. Their writing, their preaching, their teaching can truly be a blessing for us. And it's supposed to be a blessing to us. However, we cannot escape the fact that Jesus is the teacher. If man's able to provide anything in any circumstance that's worthwhile, it's because Jesus has given it to him, whether directly or indirectly. So Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. He sent God the Holy Spirit into the world to abide with those who would believe, confess, and receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. And listen, folks, man will get things wrong. Even Bible scholars get things wrong. Even the greatest of teachers will get things wrong from time to time. But Jesus, the teacher, is never wrong, and neither is his Holy Spirit. Acts 1 and 5, Jesus said, For John baptized you with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. John 1 and 7 through 8, Jesus said, it is not for you to know the periods of time or the appointed time which the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and as far as the remotest parts of the earth. Man is trying to determine when God is coming back, and the teacher is saying, don't worry about that. I've given you one that will walk with you and talk with you and lead you and carry you wherever you need to go. Just follow him. And if you follow him, it won't matter when I come. Amen. So very quickly, I want us to notice a couple things relating to true disciples in this text. First is that true disciples respond to the message of Jesus. When Martha told Mary that Jesus has come and is calling her, she got up quickly. And she came to him. In that moment, she was filled with hope and expectation because the teacher was calling her. Listen, believers and unsaved alike, you need to hear this. When the Lord is calling you, whether it's to salvation or whether it's to an act or to a life of service, you are to respond and to respond to him quickly. When Jesus is calling you, it's not a time to consult with friends. It's not a time to consult with family. It's not a time to check with your co-workers. Instead, it's a time for you to respond to him. Mary didn't consult with the people that were there comforting her. As a matter of fact, she left them. And it was when they saw that she was running out that they went to follow her. She was told Jesus is calling her, so she left to go to where he was. When Jesus is calling you, don't worry about what others might say. Don't worry about what they might think when they look at you. Just run to Jesus. Amen. Last week, Brother Buck, he didn't care. We were in the second song of our service. He didn't care what anyone thought. He just got up. He said he couldn't take it no longer. He couldn't wait no longer. He couldn't wait for the message to be preached. He couldn't wait for the invitation to be given. God called him, and that was the greatest invitation he'd ever get. And he responded. And man, he's been a different man ever since. And he's been sharing what God has done. It's here Wednesday night in Bible study. Going to be baptized today. If we'll just respond when he calls us here, change your life for your good and for his glory. What others say or do doesn't matter, because one day you're going to stand before the Lord and you're going to give an account to him. And you will stand by yourself. And the fear of what man would say or man would do just won't be an excuse worthy of telling him. Because what you'll find yourself doing is just falling at his feet, pleading for mercy. 2 Corinthians 6 and 2, Paul says, for he says, at a favorable time I listened to you, and on a day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is a day for salvation. Deuteronomy 30, 19 through 20, or the first part of 20 says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have placed before you life and death, blessing and a curse. So choose life in order that you may live and your descendants by loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice, by holding close to him. Folks, when he's calling you, obey the voice of God. Respond to the message that he has for you. But also, true disciples worship Jesus even in their grief. As soon as Mary saw Jesus grieving of her brother's death, she fell at his feet in worship. And she made a profession of faith in him. She called him Lord. She sees him. She falls at his feet and calls him Lord. Yes, I know. Just like her sister, her faith was weak because she expressed some complaint to him. She complained, if you had been here, if you hadn't drug around, if you would have came when we called out for you, my brother wouldn't have died. Yes, her faith was weak, but in her weak faith, it didn't stop her from worshiping him. Mary fell at his feet and called him Lord. Though even in that moment, her faith was weak. You know, there are times in our lives when our grief gets so real and it is so hard that it takes every ounce of energy and strength we have to worship him. We are still in this flesh. We're still living in a broken world. So it does get hard. But even in those hard moments, genuine believers, disciples of Jesus will continue to worship him. Why? Because we've learned what Paul learned. His grace is sufficient, and his power is made perfect in our weakness. That's why Teddy Whittington is fighting for his life, his parents are continuing to encourage everyone to worship the Lord, to thank the Lord for what he's done. It's almost as if he doesn't do anything else, just thank him for what he's done while their son is fighting for his life. They want others, not just themselves. They want us to join them in worshiping and praising Jesus. And you know, you can't help but think around our church, Brother Ronald and Miss Linda, after the passing of their son, they continue to worship and serve Jesus. Miss Janice and Brother Gerald, after the passing of their son, they continue to worship and serve Jesus. Miss Evelyn Hunt, after the passing of a son and a husband, she continues to worship and serve Jesus. Miss Frances Arnold continues to worship and serve Jesus. And with everything that 2023 brought to the Chavis family, Pam and Dino, they still, along with Chris and Vanessa, they still worship and serve Jesus. Folks, even if we're true believers, genuine believers of Jesus Christ, no matter what comes our way, we're not going to run away from Jesus. We'll run to Jesus. Even when our faith is weak. Why is that so important? And I'm coming to a close. Those who are preparing our invitation, as they're making their way, I want to share this with you. You don't run away from the one who understands what you're going through most. You run to Jesus. You don't run from the one who doesn't care, who cares most about you. Instead, you run to the one who is more compassionate than any other. You run to Jesus. You run to the one who loves you the most. You run to Jesus. The Bible says when Jesus saw her and those who were weeping, Jesus was deeply moved in spirit and he was troubled. The Bible said, depending on your translation, they would say he groaned in spirit. He groans in understanding and feeling and compassion for all who are hurting and suffering. The words troubled, it means to he was agitated. He was disturbed within. Jesus was actually feeling the misery and the pain that everyone else around him was feeling. His spirit was deeply moved by the whole scene of sorrow and death. Many ask, how can a loving God send anyone to hell? Genuine believers, true disciples know, they understand that God doesn't send anyone to hell. In fact, he's gone to great lengths to do everything possible to prevent anyone from ever being cast into the lake of fire. He left the splendor of heaven to be born of a poor virgin girl. She delivered him in a stable and only had strips of cloth to wrap him in. She had nothing to lay him in other than a feeding trough. He lived in this world and he lived a sinless life. And he laid down his life on an old rugged cross for the sin of the world. He who knew no sin became sin so that his righteousness could be imputed to us. He took our unrighteousness and nailed it to a cross and died in our place. But that ain't all he done. He then conquered death, hell, and the grave. When God raised him up on the third day, he brought the keys along with him. And he did all this so no one would have to go to hell. All you must do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess him as your Savior. So my question to you today is, do you today, do you believe in who Jesus is and what he has done? Are you ready to confess him as your Lord and as your Savior? With every head bowed, every eyes closed, and as they begin to sing the song of invitation, do you today? Do you believe? Are you ready to confess him? Are you ready to make him your Lord? Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow is not promised.